Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two of A Football Friday, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Spiz Grizz Network. In this second hour, it's a deep dive. Each and every game around the Sunday slate in the National Football League with Joe Ranieri and myself, Ben Stevens. Big Blue, Mike Blewett will join us in our second half hour of this second hour on this Football Friday on TEL. And Joe, frankly, it's more than a Football Friday because in hour three, we'll set the stage for this Friday and the weekend. A doubleheader of MLB playoff action tonight. It's game five in Queens. The Dodgers one win away from a National League pennant in a World Series berth. The Yankees and the Guardians in game four after a sensational and historic game number three last night in Cleveland. Will it be a split set? Will the Yankees take that commanding 3-1 series advantage? We've got game four tonight in Minneapolis of the WNBA Finals. The Liberty one went away from its first ever championship in the W. And, of course, a Saturday slate and, frankly, a Friday night in college football that is darn good.
Yeah, I, again, a little something for everybody here, Ben, as we sit in the middle of October. The halfway point of college football, almost there for the NFL. Still a lot to be decided here over the next month.
Yeah, certainly so. So let's go to the NFL. We preview every game in the Sunday slate. It's our charge here on this Football Friday. We go to the end of Sunday in another monumental matchup in primetime for Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. Joe, here we were on Tuesday reacting to the Jets falling short once again in a huge Monday night game at home against Buffalo. And then in our third hour, a little bit after 10 a.m. Eastern time, the huge blockbuster deal, the acquisition of Devontae Adams. You and I both debated, would it move the needle? Would it be worth it? Does it make the Jets a playoff team after an abysmal 2-4 start? One thing we know for sure, it needs to happen quickly, and it needs to probably happen Sunday in the Steel City. So many questions, so many storylines for this game. We do know from the numbers, New York is a 1.5 favorite, minus 134 on the money line. Total, sub 40, though, for this matchup. Joe, we expect Devontae Adams to play for the Jets and make his debut for gangrene, and we anticipate Russell Wilson to make his first start in a Steelers uniform on Sunday as well. How do you see Sunday night football in the Steel City then playing out?
Oh, yeah, I see it as a snooze fest USA here is what I see it as. Listen, I can tell you this. The New York Jets offensively looked pretty promising with Todd Downing right. In the first game of that role there, calling plays. A lot more motion, a lot more success on early downs that they had under Hackett. And, of course, I think that's only going to get better with Devontae Adams in the mix, who is going to be very familiar with the offense and certainly right. very familiar with their quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. So I do think the opportunity for the Jets to keep improving offensively will be there. But Russell Wilson, I mean, what are we expecting here, Mike Tomlin? What exactly is it you think with Arthur Smith as your play caller is somehow or another going to what? Light up this this top 10 Jets defense, who will, by the way, probably be down a couple of members in that secondary as Chuck Clark, the safety, along with, I believe, Reed also probably not going to be available in this game. But what the hell does that matter? It's Russell Wilson. He can't throw the ball more than 10 yards down the field anyway. And I have a sneaking suspicion he's going to be under duress a lot. So Listen, I don't know. The Jets should win this game. They should win it rather easily. But isn't the under and maybe even team total under for the Pittsburgh Steelers a better look here, Ben?
So, yes, I think so. And conversely, Joe, despite going up against the second best scoring defense in the National Football League, that's TJ Watt and Pittsburgh, the addition of Devontae Adams has to mean an offensive onslaught, right? He doesn't play offensive line. Aaron Rodgers has been sacked 11 times in this three-game losing skid. He does not kick field goals. Greg Zuerlein has been atrocious, as we saw on Monday night. The Jets are the second-best total defense in the NFL, second-best passing defense, allowing less than 150 yards per game. Welcome back, Russ. But they have been susceptible to allowing some yardage on the ground, more than a buck 20 on the ground throughout this season. But I don't think Russell Wilson helps the Steelers offensively. I think Justin Fields does, at least from the ground component. And listen, as we shared in our opening segment, in our opening hour, Justin Fields was honest and transparent yesterday meeting with the media. Now that Russell Wilson is back as a full participant at practice, taking reps with the number one offense, Fields said himself, "I have not played good enough to earn this starting spot. If you leave doubt, it leads to decisions being made." And that's been the case. Justin Fields has been fine, but he's thrown for less than a buck 80 in 4 of 6 games for Pittsburgh. I don't think he's been tasked with having to throw for 250 plus and 3 touchdowns each and every week, but he hasn't been outstanding from an offensive perspective. He does provide a component on the ground. Joe, the Jets are a road favorite, and I think it's natural to question if the Jets should be laying a price to a 4-2 team, even if it's a couple of cents of difference on the money line. When the Jets somehow, some way, call it a ref show, call it bad defense, call it bad kicking, they find ways to lose games, and good football teams like the Steelers and Mike Tomlin find ways to even have one more point on the scoreboard when the game comes to a close. But once again, this is a must-win game early in the year for the New York Jets if they are going to flirt with playoff contention after the acquisition of Devontae Adams.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I mean, the time for panic is come and gone. Like, you should have won two of the last 3 games that you played in, New York Jets. But really, I don't know exactly what Pittsburgh was expecting when you hired Arthur Smith to run the offense. And the only wide receiver that carries their weight in salt is Pickens, and half the time he doesn't run the route at full speed. So, and now he's got to go up against Sauce Gardner. So exactly how many yards is Russell Wilson thinking is going to throw here? I just don't see it. I think this is going to be, once again, a game about defense and a running game. I think if Pittsburgh falls behind and they have to become one-dimensional and rely on Russell Wilson throwing the ball, Ben, it's going to get ugly in a hurry in this game.
A very tumultuous 2-year stint in Denver. Last year for Russ, better 26 touchdowns to only 8 INTs. Started 15 games for the Broncos. After week 3, threw for more than 250 yards just once. It wasn't prolific production out of Russell Wilson. Devontae Adams, who was great in Las Vegas before that sneaky hamstring injury, it's a blessing he is able to play on Sunday, was great with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. 3 of their final 4 years together, more than 1,370 receiving yards, at least 11 receiving touchdowns each of those 3 years. That is the production that Jets fans are hoping for. Plus 136 for New York to see the playoffs. Note the price, because if they win on Sunday, it's not going to be there anymore. Joe, Sunday starts over in London once again, and for a second consecutive week, the Jags are across the pond. A 1-5 Jacksonville team against a 1-5 New England team. Oh boy, London, get ready for football. Jacksonville, a 5.5-point favorite. Joe, who wins their second game of the year?
So if a tree falls in the forest and nobody is there to see it, does it actually even matter or make a sound? I'm going to guess the answer is no. Who in the hell is getting up early on a Sunday to watch this debacle here? The only good news is, listen, I'm rooting for New England because I can't wait to see Doug Peterson have to swim home because he's not going to be allowed on the plane.
So this is my hope. The Jags don't cover, but they win like 13-10. And Doug Peterson gets fired and left in London after a win. That's the only thing I'm hoping for. More from Sunday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Sunday slate preview continues on this Football Friday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Joe, a couple of great divisional duels this week in the National Football League. None better than what we will see in Minneapolis. The Vikings return from London with a 5-0 record, a bye week to get rested and refreshed, and now host the Detroit Lions to in week number 7. And what a matchup we have. The 5-0 Vikings, along with Kansas City, one of two remaining undefeated teams in the NFL, and a 5-1 Lions team that, after the dismantling of Dallas last week at the Star, Joe, many are looking at Detroit as maybe the best team in the conference in the NFC as a whole. 50.5 is the total, one of a handful of games that features a total of 50 or higher this weekend and into Monday. The Vikings, though, a home favorite. Will it be Minnesota's first loss of the season, or will the Vikings be the team making this statement on Sunday over Detroit?
Yeah, I mean, listen, just terrible what happened to Aiden Hutchinson in that game there with the broken tibia, and obviously going to miss him for the rest of their season, considering that he was responsible for more than half of the pressures on other quarterbacks from this Lions defense. He is probably just absolutely indispensable, Ben. I don't care who they throw out there, you're not going to be able to replace it. So the defense of Detroit got a little bit worse. However, it's a game of matchups here, right? And I may be crazy, but Jared Goff, as he's gotten older in this league, has gotten way better in recognizing the blitz and dealing with pressure. In fact, against Dallas, 6-7 for a 178 when they tried to collapse the pocket and blitz him. Nobody blitzes more than Minnesota. That defense, we're talking about a 52% blitz rate. There are far too many weapons on the field for Detroit. If you are going to go all out and try to go get Jared Goff, good luck. There could be a lot of points in this game, and that's exactly where I would look. No way am I sweating out an under here, because, again, Detroit's defense got a little worse, unfortunately, last week. You won the game, but, boy, oh, boy, at a big, big cost. But either way, it's an over for me in this game.
Yeah, Joe, it's the sad reality of the National Football League, right? With a huge statement victory, you have what is a hampering to your long-term success. Losing Aiden Hutchinson is not going to be easy for this Lions team. Detroit under in 3 of their games so far this season, and on the other side for Minnesota, they have looked like a really solid team, Joe, but at times they have built big leads to only have the opposition respond. I said early, by the way, and my apologies, that Detroit was 5-1. They're looking to get to 5-1. They're 4-1 so far this season, also an early season bye. Joe, let's compare these two teams, though, as we look at where things stand in the NFC North. Co-favorites in the division. The division and the NFC North, the best in football. They've got all four teams with a winning record, all at 4-2 or better. Plus 480, the price on Detroit to win the conference title. It's the second best number, only behind San Francisco. Third best price on Minnesota at 6-1. Joe, at the end of the road, the odds are favoring Detroit. How do you think this season plays out for both the Lions and the Vikings?
Yeah, I mean, listen, keep in mind, too, we still haven't seen T.J. Hockenson for Minnesota, right? He is hoping to be able to suit up for his first game this week against Detroit. That would be great here. So Minnesota, the question here, Ben, to me is that is one of these teams overperforming? And I think the answer is yes. I think the Lions, we knew what we were going to get from the Lions. We were expecting exactly what we're getting from the Lions. Minnesota is the surprise. Is it sustainable with Sam Darnold, the quarterback? That is the question. I think, you know, styles make fights. I don't think this is a great fight for Minnesota. I think Detroit has exactly the kind of weapons to make that defense be uncomfortable and give up points. And I think if that's the case and Sam Darnold's got to play from behind, it's going to be a long day for Minnesota.
The Vikings have gone under in 4 of 5 games. The only over this year was a wild game against Green Bay in Lambeau, their only divisional game so far this season. And it did hit the over. Again, Minnesota had built such an early lead, 21-zip, 28-zip, whatever it was, before Jordan Love and Green Bay did make it interesting, certainly in that second half. Because Minnesota has been up so big, it has forced their opponents at times to throw, playing from that deficit. Third worst passing defense, that's the Vikings, despite being the fourth best scoring defense in the NFL. So could be a recipe for Jared Goff. Another divisional duel and an intriguing one at MetLife on Sunday. The Giants host the Eagles, 3-point spread in favor of the road team from Philadelphia. Malik Nabers back at practice, trending in a positive direction to return for the G-men. Joe, only one prop available in this game. It's Saquon Barkley, who did not have a great week last week against the Browns. In the Eagles, as I have said, probably the least optimistic team with a winning record so far this season in the NFL at 3-2.
It's just awful. I mean, how do you come out of a bye week, get both your top outside weapons to you, and you can barely score 20 points and beat the Browns? You almost lost to the Browns. Absolutely ridiculous. Not to mention now they've lost their left tackle and their tight end in Dallas Goedert. You know, is it going to be the Saquon Barkley game? Probably, because I wouldn't trust them dropping back and throwing a whole lot. Didn't work out all that well. And say what you want about the Giants. That's a real defense, Ben. It's a really good secondary, too. So I think this has got under written all over it here. I think this is one-dimensional Giants against the Vic Fangio defense that's finally starting to get it. I don't see how we get over 43 points in this game.
Joe, I would have to agree. The Eagles have been a true favorite, laying more than a point twice this year. They're 0-2 against the spread. They have not been a great cover team. There is not a lot of optimism right now for the Birds, despite their early season outlook. A good defensive performance could change that, and we'll see exactly what the G-men present offensively. This will be now the 22nd consecutive game for the Giants as an underdog, 11-9-1 ATS in the previous 21. More around the Sunday slate up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some interconference matchups, pretty intriguing for the Week 7 Sunday slate to break down for you here on this Football Friday on TEL. Joe, this one I'm really excited for. I think it's one of the best of the early viewing window on Sunday. To Lambeau Field we go. The Green Bay Packers playing host to the Houston Texans. 2.5-point spread in favor of Jordan Love and the Pack at home. 47.5 is that total. How do you see this matchup between Houston and Green Bay on Sunday?
Yeah, I actually, Ben, I do like Houston getting the points here. And call me crazy, that is a different offense when you can get Mixon and Pierce running the ball like they did here. And I think that is the key to this game. Can the Green Bay Packers defense under their new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, and he's been doing an amazing job, by the way. This is a different Packers team because of this defense and what Hafley has done. But at the same time, if Texas is going to rely on Stroud in every 3rd and 9 and 3rd and 12 to have to pull a play out of his you-know-what in order to get it done, I'm not buying it here. I also believe Houston's defense also getting back to Nico Autry off of suspension. This was a guy that had 11.5 sacks last year in Tennessee. So I do think that the defense going to get some help back in the secondary that was hurt a week ago against New England. I think getting a field goal here is an interesting proposition against this Packers team that I don't think we'll have the same kind of offensive success as they've had over the last couple of weeks.
The Packers are a top 10 scoring defense, but they do allow some chunks of yardage from time to time. 339 yards given up. Not the case for the Texans. Third best total defense in the National Football League, only allowing 277 per game. Where Green Bay does excel under Jeff Hafley is taking the football away. They have forced multiple turnovers in every single game this season. The only team in the NFL that can say that. Jordan Love, of course, has been back for three consecutive weeks. The Packers have won their last two. They have been booked as a favorite in the last three with Jordan Love. They have covered in their two wins. Joe, what's fascinating about this Packers team? 4-2 this year, of course, with two of those first wins coming with Malik Willis under center and as an underdog. The Packers have only been booked as a favorite 8 times since the start of last season. In a new era after Aaron Rodgers, how would Jordan Love fare? We get the reasons why. Just 4-4 ATS. And the Texans were not a good cover team to start the year. They are 5-1, but just 2-3-1 against the spread. But they were a favorite in every game but one. Now, Joe, when you look at Houston as an underdog with C.J. Stroud, there's not many better teams around the National Football League. 7-4 ATS since the start of last season. Those 2.5 points are intriguing. Stroud's prop, 258.5. Jordan Love's prop, 248 and a hook. Both 1.5 touchdowns for Sunday. Those are the numbers. All right, let's get to another game in the afternoon hours after 4 p.m. Eastern time inside SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. A couple of injury questions for the Rams. Will Cooper Kupp be back? Certainly on track to playing. The Rams off a bye, just trying to get healthy to avoid what could be a dismal season again. Just one win for this Rams team, and yet they're laying near a touchdown against the Raiders on Sunday, Joe.
Yeah, far too many edges here for the Rams. Coming off a bye, they have a huge advantage in the coaching department on that sideline. The Rams are also getting just about everybody back healthy on the offensive line. They're also getting, like you had mentioned, Cooper Kupp in all likelihood back, going up against a Raiders defense that we still don't know if Max Crosby is going to play. You got rid of the malcontent there in Devontae Adams, which is great. But does it matter who the quarterback is for the Raiders? The answer is absolutely not. This is the get right spot of the season for the Rams. Yeah. I like the Rams defense. I like that they're getting healthier. I like that they've had a week to prepare. And there is nothing offensively about the Raiders that's going to scare this Rams team. I think Kyron Williams goes for 1 million yards. I think Stafford throws for 1 billion. There is no way this doesn't have double digit win for the Rams all over it.
I completely agree with you, Joe. It's a 6.5 point spread, and that feels jarring in favor of Los Angeles for a 1-4 football team. It's justified. This is the first time this year LA will be booked as the favorite. Last year, 6-3 against the spread, one of the best in the NFL when laying a number. There will be a reason why on Sunday. Big Blue, up and in. Mike Blewett joins a Football Friday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here we go on a Football Friday with Mike Blewett right here on the early line on Sports Grid to preview each and every game from the Sunday slate. Big Blue, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here on this Football Friday. So many games to break down and get your analysis for.
Absolutely. Hopefully the games are a little bit more entertaining than last night's effort by the Saints. But yeah. Joe and I have sifted through the good games and the bad games every Sunday, and hopefully we'll get you off to a good start on In-Game Live this Sunday.
NFL football in-game live game day with Mike Blewett and Joe Ranieri. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Through that early viewing window, a ton of enticing matchups, including an AFC North showdown where one team is atrocious and record-wise the other team is not better, but trying to turn their season around week by week, game by game, and hopefully for Cincinnati win by win. Blewett, the Bengals, a 5.5-point favorite in Cleveland. against the one-win Cleveland Browns. 1-5 this year. It is the start for the Browns. Last week, their only cover as an 8.5-point dog in Philly in any of their five L's this season. It's a divisional game. You've got a road divisional favorite laying 5.5 points. Will it be competitive at all in Cleveland on Sunday?
It's hard to think that after watching the Browns the last few weeks, but what I would say, the angle I would prefer to take here, because it's so many points on the road in division, Cincinnati has won 4 of their 6 first halves this year. And they generally get off to a good start. Last week, obviously, the Giants defense did a nice job on them, but they've generally gotten off to good starts. So I got two angles here. You can lay 3.5 in the first half with the Bengals. And their first half team total, the Bengals, is 12.5 right now. They're averaging nearly 14 points a game in the first half. So that's the angle I like. Bengals first half. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals kind of run away with this game. But to keep you from having to lay nearly a touchdown in division on the road, I think that's the way I'd go.
Good luck.
So interesting one coming up in Orchard Park. The Bills coming off a huge division rivalry game, the Jets, in which they pulled it out. They got a new weapon there in Amari Cooper this week. And they're going to need Amari Cooper's help here because the rest of the weapons there against this secondary of Tennessee is not great here. This is not a spot I usually like to back Buffalo as a big home favorite off for a big divisional road win. But my goodness, what are we expecting from Tennessee and Will Levis here? What are we looking at?
I think you and I have to the conclusion that Levis might be the most entertaining player in the league.
Oh,
because he keeps us on the edge of our seat on nearly every drive. I think We've been looking at interception props, but you're laying too much juice now to even make it worth it. And of course, he threw another devastating one. They didn't pay for it last week, but it was a terrible interception late in the game. I just don't know if the Titans can hang points wise. I'm with you, Joe. 8.5 is a ton. Coming off a short week against a divisional rival, they've got a new addition to the team. Doesn't necessarily mean Amari Cooper is going to come in here and produce right away. By the way, he leads the league in drops. Historically, as good as he is, he's a very hot and cold player in terms of production week to week. He lacks consistency, and it's not necessarily all on him. Clearly, this year it's not on him. The quarterback play is the worst in the league in Cleveland. But are they going to get to 16 or 17 points? I just don't see it. I think Levis is going to be under a lot of pressure. And I like the Titans under on their point total, so under 16.5.
The Titans have not had a total this year above 43 and a hook. So they are comfortable with these low numbers at 40.5 in Western New York. No props just out yet for the Buffalo Bills in terms of their receiving component. Amari Cooper, how will he factor in? They're banged up in that wide receiver room as well. And with James Cook, who did miss Monday night in MetLife, but sweet baby Ray Davis, the rookie running back out of Kentucky, was a huge spark and the Bills' leading receiver against the Jets with 55 yards out of the backfield. The Titans this year, just 1-4. They have not covered in any of their 4 losses. They have been a favorite, weirdly, twice in their last 3 games, an underdog in every single other game since the start of last season. This an 8.5-point spread. 3-point number in Indianapolis. Still some quarterback questions to decipher. Anthony Richardson trending like he is going to return for Indy after missing the last 2 games. Will Jonathan Taylor be back in the backfield if AR is healthy? Should he even start in place of Joe Flacco, who somehow, some way, continues to defy his age and his lack of experience with his current organization? Blue on the other side, Miami off a bye, trying to figure things out offensively until Tua Tagovailoa returns. 3-point spread in favor of Indianapolis. How do you see it playing out?
So Miami's got a little bit of an out of sight, out of mind kind of feel coming into this week, right? The last time we saw them, they couldn't really operate anything offensively, and then people are sort of forgotten about it. The Tua, Mike McDaniel has come out and said that he expects Tua to play again this year, although there's no timeline as to when that will happen. Flacco has been really good when they need him to be, but it is worth noting that there was a sense of this last year with the Browns when he won comeback player of the year, that even as he was winning games and throwing for 300 yards in every one of those games, he was turnover happy as well. Turnovers crept in a little bit last week in that Colts-Titans game, but I get a little concerned laying a lot of points with the Colts, but a flat three, I think I'm comfortable here. Miami's got to prove it offensively, and maybe they'll have some gadget plays in order to help the QB play, but I just don't know that they can drive the ball consistently. It's an interesting spot for them because they have all the rest, but I feel comfortable at a flat three. If it's 3.5, though, I might be leaning the other way. I think this is a three-point game.
The problem there, too, Blue, is you got Tennessee. They got a trip to Houston on deck here, and that's going to be a little bit more important to them, I think, than Miami. Possible, I know it's coming off a bye for Miami. No excuse for Huntley in this offense here, but I hate the spot for Indy here, no?
Yeah, I agree. It's why I think I'm a little uncomfortable with this game generally, because if Miami's going to get it right at all, Joe, this year, this would be the spot to get it right.
Yep.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Right now, yep. The Dolphins, the worst scoring offense, or one of the worst scoring offenses in the NFL. An astronomical number on Tyreek Hill to find the end zone. Plus 175. Oh. You would think in the bye week they have figured some things out to at least feed him the football for the Fins. Should be a way to look. Last week, Lewitt, the Commanders go into Baltimore as a 6.5-point dog, lose by a touchdown, do not cover, snapping a 4-game win streak. But still it felt like, hey, these Commanders can play with their rookie quarterback, Jaden Daniels. Now they're laying more than a touchdown at home against Carolina. Can Washington bounce back and get back into the win column and cover laying a big number at home against the Panthers?
Yes, and it is a kind of a name your score kind of game, but it is now up to 30.5. This is a team that a few weeks ago we were just talking about, a nice start for the rookie quarterback. Now the expectation is that they will score north of 30 points. I think the reality is if you expect a blowout in this game, you just go all in on the Commanders. Point total, lay the 8.5 and everything. I just haven't really seen enough out of the Panthers defense to get any stops. So separate the halves. Washington is the number one second half scoring team in the league. So you can separate the halves. You can take the team total straight up. That's the way I would play it. I would get away from the 8.5 and just because maybe Andy Dalton stays in it. So I like over 30.5 and maybe over in the second half for them.
51.5 is the highest total of the weekend. Washington over in 5 of 6. More from Sunday with Fluent next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Three games for the NFL Sunday slate in week 6 feature a total 50 and above, including in Atlanta, where the Falcons are a 3-point home favorite in the Battle of the Birds against the Seattle Seahawks. And Mike Blewett, a total of 50 and a hook. Has Atlanta started to figure things out with Kirk Cousins? They roll on the road last week in Carolina as expected, but easily handle the Panthers covering as a near touchdown favorite in a road divisional game. Now they're laying a flat 3, that field goal number against the Seahawks team that started great and has struggled since. They were 3-0. Now they have dropped 3 in a row. How do you see Sunday in Atlanta playing out between the Falcons and the Seahawks?
To answer your question, yes. I think Atlanta is starting to figure some things out. I just think Raheem Morris is doing a really good job. And Kirk Cousins is getting healthier by the week as well. It's a new team. He's dealing with a long-term comeback from an injury. So I think they are trying to figure things out. And something I think we discussed last week, and Joe and I certainly talked about it the other day on air, is I'm not a huge believer that there has to be balance in your offense if you're doing something well, But I think with Seattle, that is something that they need to strive for, and they're not seeing enough of it right now. They're getting down in games and having to throw a lot. So Geno Smith leading the league in passing yards is not really a recipe for success for the Seahawks. It looks good statistically for him, and if he's on your fantasy team, great. But they need to get the ball in Kenneth Walker's hands more often. He's seeing far few touches for them to be able to consistently win games. And until they get that right, maybe this is the week that they can do it. I would force the issue with Kenneth Walker if I'm the Seahawks. But right now, I like the Falcons at home. They're not laying a ton. It's a funky interdivisional game. You don't see these teams match up all that often. But I like Kirk Cousins. Yeah. I like the way he's playing. I like this Falcons team more than I like the Seahawks right now.
Now, I hate this Falcons defense who can't get to the quarterback at all, and that's a recipe for disaster. If you, even for Geno Smith, if you give him all day to throw and find those wide receivers. So feels like points are coming in that one. I don't know that points are coming in the rematch here, Blewett, that we just saw 6 months ago between Kansas City and the 49ers, but yet some different faces, some guys not there, but it feels like we got pretty much the same line we did six months ago. What changes in this game? Anything?
Yeah, a little home cooking, I guess. Jordan Mason obviously banged up the other day, but does it really matter who's in for the Niners in terms of getting their running game going? I think they're doing a great job recently of getting these weapons as they're healthier, getting as many guys involved as possible. I just continue to think that, look, Andy Reid is unbelievable coming off a bye historically. And I still find it a little quizzical, guys, that people ultimately concede that the Chiefs defense is legit, but people, because of Mahomes' presence and because of how prolific the offense has been in the past, I still think this defense gets underrated in terms of how good they are. They are one of the best defenses in the league. Yeah. I think they can create problems for Purdy, and I'll take the Chiefs getting points. Mahomes as an underdog and Reed coming off a bye. Those are spectacular records.
Yeah, they certainly are, Blue. Last year, KC was the slight dog in Sin City. They went outright. They were an underdog four times last year. They won outright in all four games as a dog, a favorite in every one. San Francisco has been a favorite in every game since the start of a season ago. And, Blue, it's maybe not just a Super Bowl 58 rematch in Santa Clara. It's a potential Super Bowl 59 preview. Both of these teams, the Chiefs in the AFC, conference title favorites. The Niners in the NFC, conference championship favorites. Two best prices to reach Super Bowl or to even win Super Bowl 59 at 5-1 for the Chiefs, at 7-1 for the 49ers. Is this not just a Super Bowl rematch, but a potential preview as well?
I think so. People certainly panic about the Niners seemingly every time they get off to a bad start, which is frankly pretty often under Kyle Shanahan. You want to see McCaffrey back. It may not be for a while that we see him, but I don't think there's been any chatter in terms of having to shut him down for the season. So their bye week is coming up, yeah, in week 9. So I think you can see McCaffrey back in a few weeks, and we'll be talking about the Niners getting on this roll that they tend to get on as they get into the playoffs. And obviously through the playoffs, they've had a lot of success. So right now it'd be hard for me to go a different way. I picked the Packers and the Chiefs at the beginning of the year. I do like the Packers, especially the way you mentioned earlier, the way they're playing defense and how good Jordan Love has been at times this year. I think they're still a real challenger along with the Lions.
How about a big NFC North battle? Detroit taking on Minnesota here. Jared Goff coming off the game of all games. Sam Darnold, the unexpected one. What are we getting in this one here, Blewett?
Really good one. The Lions, so I think the Lions' performance against the Bucks was an interesting way to watch the market, right? It had everybody back off the Lions a little bit because of a funky performance in there, one in which they got into the red zone, I think it was 7 times, and didn't score a touchdown. So we saw last week them explode again. Now, this is the Vikings coming off a bye at home. You'd be betting a road divisional dog, but I just think right now the Lions are the better team. We saw some cracks in the armor with Darnold in London. And the way the Lions played last week, is there too much of an emotional high to come in and play a divisional opponent? I think that's possible. I just think the Lions are the better football team. And all I have to do is, you know, I'm catching a point and a half in this one. I think if these teams played a month from now, we'll see the Vikings' proper water level settle out. And I think we'll notice that the Lions and the Packers are the class of this division and not the Vikings. Although I do think the Vikings are a very respectable playoff team.
If the Lions do win outright, both of these teams will be 5-1. Minnesota enters week 7 as one of the two remaining undefeated sides, along with Kansas City. Co-favorites as well to win what is a highly competitive division, that being the NFC North. All four teams 4-2 or better so far this season. Mike Blewett, wave the terrible towel, because we go to Pittsburgh on Sunday night with you up next. It's some quarterback questions here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday night in the Steel City, what a marquee matchup to end out the Sunday slate in prime time. The New York Jets in a must-win night game once again as they faltered on Monday against Buffalo. They add Devontae Adams on Tuesday morning. Rah-rah, everybody's happy in Florham Park. But are they really? They're 2-4. They're two games below 500 despite being a road favorite in the Steel City. But Mike Blewett is a Steelers fan and calls it like he sees it. Mike Blewett, no official confirmation yet for your Steelers that Russell Wilson is going to start, but he's back at practice. He's taking the reps with the ones. More than likely, it is his show and his Steelers debut on Sunday night against the Jets. Let's start there before we dive into the actual game. Is that the right decision? Is starting Russell Wilson ahead of Justin Fields the right call by Mike Tomlin?
I think it's a tight one. What would bother me is if we talked about this during early, like preseason and early on in the season. I certainly have talked about it on this network a number of times. The Steelers promising Russell Wilson the job at any point, which Mike Tomlin did do as the starter, was odd to me. They had no allegiance to him. There was no reason for him to do that. They should have just left it to a training camp battle. Now, neither guy played well in training camp, and Fields got the job because of what happened to Russ and the ridiculous training camp incident where he's blocking sleds and pulled his calf. Now, Justin Fields, interestingly, took ownership. He said, if I were to be benched, it's because I didn't play well enough, and he takes accountability for that. I think there are moments with Justin Fields, which is what we've seen throughout his career, where he's been really explosive, particularly running the ball. Again, the second half against the Raiders, another good half. But with 30 seconds left in the first half against the Raiders, the Steelers had 6 points. It's a consistent problem. They don't have any they don't have any ability to push the ball downfield. Now, the real issue for me is that Russ isn't any good at it either. So I think you might get a similar type of play without the ability to run the ball. Fields is taking care of the ball really well. Hopefully Russ will do that too. Do I think Russ is going to provide a spark? I don't, but it's clear the Steelers may think that he could provide a little bit of a spark with downfield passing, get Pickens more involved. I just don't think the offense is going to be that much different no matter who's QBing it. It's conservative. I think they have to play that way because of the makeup of the roster. They've lost some offensive linemen now as well. And the reality is Arthur Smith isn't all that creative. He just hasn't proven to be a creative offensive mind in this league.
Yeah, shocker, Arthur Smith. How about Saquon's return there? A little revenge spot here with Philly and the Giants. I can't think of two offenses I trust less than this here, Mike. What are you thinking?
God, it feels like a hard under. It just does. I don't know what the hell these guys are going to do to get over 43. The Hurts turnover issues, they were bad against Cleveland. If it wasn't Cleveland, Joe, they would have lost to 29 other teams. honestly. They were terrible. Missing field goals. And it was a tight game, somehow. The Browns are awful, and it was tight. And obviously the whole incident with Sirianni, the clown, and all that kind of stuff. But I just think it's got to be an under. Saquon, sure, revenge factor here. Maybe take some Saquon overs, but how aggressive can you be on the overs if we don't expect either of these teams to light up the scoreboard?
81.5, the rushing yards prop for Saquon Barkley. Also has his receiving yards number out there. He was quoted earlier this week saying, "I'm over it." I think they're probably over it as well. His departure to a division rival, Saquon, I'm not so sure about that as you enter East Rutherford, New Jersey on Sunday afternoon. Quickly back to the Steelers, Blue, for Sunday night. Yeah. Huge game for the Jets once again. Almost feels like a must-win spot as it was to end out Week 6, to end out the Sunday slate, Week 7. But the Jets often find ways to lose football games. Will they get the win in Pittsburgh as a slight road favorite on Sunday night?
Everybody playing their best game right now, I think the Jets are a little bit of a better football team, a lot, but everybody playing their best game. But the Jets commit a million penalties. You can go on the road and commit 10 penalties and win. The Steelers are a home underdog, and Tomlin is lights out in this spot. He just is. Yeah. If you're asking me straight up, though, I think the Jets will get the win.
Yeah, it's a great point, Blewett, right? The Steelers have only winning ways in 18 years under Mike Tomlin. They're going to make you beat them, and the Jets have found a way to falter time and again. Mike Blewett, we'll see you on Sunday. We appreciate the time. More of the Early Line in Hour 3 up next.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.